The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me." Woe is me seems to be an understatement. The prophet is having a vision that's not only very vivid, but also frightening. Everything is immense. The hem of the Lord's robe fills the temple. There are seraphs with multiple wings. They're shouting and trembling and shaking and fire. In all this, the prophet realizes that not only is he privy to amazing sights and sounds, but he has also seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The prophet knows that to see the face of God invites death. And to make matters worse, the prophet is a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. He feels afraid and hopeless. And that's because the Bible, in addition to being God's word to us, the story of our salvation, theology, literature, the Bible is also very good theater. Imagine what a movie director would do with this story. The special effects would be spectacular. So spectacular, perhaps, that we would lose the real point of the story. The prophet is indeed living among people with unclean lips. They have become so unfaithful, so far from being a people of God, that God has almost despaired. And the conversation between the prophet and the Sarah, and then between the prophet and God, is wonderful theater too. The prophet moans, "I am lost." And the seraph, instead of just telling him that he's wrong, takes a live burning coal from the altar and touches the prophet's mouth with it cleansing it from guilt and sin. It's a little more exciting than our usual Sunday absolution for sin. And I think I'm glad. And then we hear from God. And God asks, it seems, a rhetorical question. Whom shall I send? Can't we imagine saying, please, please send me. Just keep those seraphs away from me. And if we had stopped our first reading there, as if it were the first act, the main character would come off as a real hero, very brave and confident. Here am I, as if God didn't notice him. Send me. Well, good for him. We hear this sentiment many times in scriptures, sometimes in different words, Samuel, David, Mary, and eventually the disciples of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing to say, a selfless and loving thing to say. And we can rejoice that with the throng of seraphs crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. But the lectionary offers us a chance to go further in this passage. We can get a taste of what happens when God's people say, send me. In the second act, so to speak, the prophet finds out that he must take what will be a very unpopular message from God to the people. Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of the people dull so that they will not understand and be healed. Coming from a loving God, this seems very harsh. Unless we understand that the people have ignored every single message that God has sent so far. Until they hit rock bottom, they will not repent. And our brave and selfless prophet has a difficult mission, but he has been anointed and he will be supported by God. And it's the same in today's gospel. In this passage from Luke, we have one of the great catch of fish stories. Jesus is beginning his ministry. He's been baptized and he's been anointed for ministry. He spent 40 days in the wilderness praying and preparing. And now he has come to preach and teach. But he didn't start in the court of the king or the temple with the high priest. He began his ministry with the common people. Fishermen, farmers, women, children. And this might make some interesting theater too. Imagine how a bunch of professional fishermen felt when Jesus, a carpenter, a landsman by trade, told them to put their nets out again for a catch. Can't you hear the incredulity in Peter's voice? We've worked all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, we can imagine the rolling of the eyes that the other fishermen did. And maybe they even made some rude remarks. But of course they bring in twice the boatload and they are amazed. But the huge catch of fish is not exactly the point of the story. It doesn't matter how Jesus managed the miracle. And the same goes for the prophet Isaiah. It doesn't matter how the hem of the Lord filled the temple or how he got his lips singed and didn't die. The point of both passages is that God expects each one of us to take part in the building of the kingdom of God. By our baptism, we are anointed as Isaiah was and as Jesus was and as Peter was in today's passage. It doesn't matter that we are not among the mighty of the land. And it doesn't even matter if we're not among the mighty in church. Notice that neither Isaiah nor Peter, nor many of the great people in our scriptures, David, Mary, Joseph, Anna, Simeon, were numbered among the high priest or important government leaders. All of these readings can be an inspiration to all of us who are called to make a difference where we are. We find the same message in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he does a wee bit of bragging. He talks about his own call, reminding Corinthians that it was by the grace of God that he became an apostle. With God's grace, he had the strength to continue spreading the good news of Christ, the very same thing that we are supposed to do. In this passage, he tells us what the good news is for him in words that we now say every time we pray the creed. Of first importance, Paul says, is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. If we continued reading to the end of chapter 15, we'd hear Paul remind the Corinthians that they too will be raised from the dead, and that Christ will come again, and what happened to Jesus will also happen to them. The Corinthians thought that Christ's second coming was imminent, but here we are, 2,000 plus years later, still striving to live a godly life. We live a life of faith in the promises of God, and each time we say the creed, we remember Paul's words and believe them, even though we've never seen Jesus in the flesh. We believe, as the Corinthians did, that what happened to Jesus will also happen to us. We, too, will share in the resurrection, as we already do. The story we share with others is a life-giving story. And the more we read the scriptures, the more we try to model our lives on Christ. And the more we realize that no matter what happens to us, good or bad, we are part of God's family, and God is with us. Like Isaiah, Peter, and Paul, we've been anointed and are full of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has work to do in proclaiming the kingdom of God, whether by its working for the church, volunteering, or being a witness to a godly life among our coworkers or among our families and friends. And each one of us has the same promise that was given to them. Do not be afraid. Be at peace. God is with us each step of the way. We are nourished and strengthened right here at this altar. And we have the ability to bring others along with us, to be fishers of people, even when it means going out again and letting down the nets another time, letting our nets down in faith that the Lord will fill them. Be brave. Be not afraid. Be fishers of people and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.